I had this experience of meeting somebody in a bar once in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what it looked like. It was a gabled room, kind of small. It was warm and friendly. The other patrons in the place were apparently enjoying each other's company, and I was quite home there. I was talking to somebody. And we agreed to meet sometime. And then I woke up, and daily life went on, and weeks later, I met someone coming out of a church, and we looked at each other, and we realized we knew each other from somewhere, but we couldn't figure out where. And so we talked about it for a while, and we realized where we met was in the dream. He had had the same dream.
Yeah,
and that's the only example in my experience.
But you know, it's just hitting me that I should interview you on your spiritual perspective stuff. I mean, it's all staring me in the face.
Yes.
These icons and so forth. Obviously, as a gay person, you have something to say. You have been saying it to me and other people that are open to you. So I'll tell you what, we'll arrange a time. We'll just sort of do a casual conversation, and we'll lead into these things. It's a la Studs Terkel fashion.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And you can be anonymous a lot, but we'll have the honor of your voice will be on the web in the Final Testament. People's stories, different stories, his perspective and so forth.
But I've often thought of that dream as an indicator that there really is, the world is really much bigger than we think it is. It's round. That there are more connections in it than we know about, and that there is no such thing as space and time.
Yeah. Well, Carl Castaneda wrote a lot of good books on that.
I've thought that for a long time. There is no space. Because I don't know how it is that me and this other fellow happened to meet in that dream, but that's what we met. I was very young. I was in my early 20s. I had just gotten back from a trip to Scotland. I had been in Europe, actually, for several months. I've been in Europe for several months.
I love to visit.
Then I have come back here. Then I come back here, have this dream, and then meet him a few weeks later, not having met him previously in an ordinary daily life, as it were, but we had met in this dream, and we had both had the same dream. That incident, I've thought about it many times over the past 30 years.
Well, what's going to happen when I talk about my spiritual experiences and describe them as tools and how to use, more and more people will have much more lucid dreaming and other stuff because my ideas are like a virus and they catch very quickly. This is what I'm told, how things manifest. I'm a catalyst. These things. But I had my first love, Robert Matthew Childress, whom I really miss. Just to go to, he introduced me, he opened the door to the whole counterculture. Turned me on to gorgeous guy, jet black curly hair, tall, just perfection and bodily form, just beautiful man, and beautiful rainbow colors in his eyes. He would sometimes, I was still going to the University of Missouri, and when I gave him the key to my apartment where I was living, and he would be gone, he loved to live out in the woods, he would take me out to the woods, collect different herbs, make tea for both of us, and play Cat Stevens songs to me on the guitar. Very romantic, sweet guy. And I would worry about once in a while, because he goes somewhere to score acid for money, whatever. He said, I'm going to Springfield to score some acid, and be back in a week. I said, well, be careful, whatever. He said, I will. And so, see, whenever he'd be gone, I know he's back. But if my room's all nice and clean, and he had a vase with flowers on it, like that. He would speak in abandoned homes and all of that. Just very, and very clean. It was a real spiritual quest for him to live this way. This opened the whole door of the character. And that the grew long hair, I dropped out of it. Such a gorgeous guy. It was an angel. Introducing me to the gate of heaven. This is the path that you're going to get there. And I've always had some beautiful man come into my life every few years, or maybe not a few, every 7 years, and these incredible magic things happen. And I'm like, these aren't just men. These are probably bona fide angels. And it's beautiful. Now, so one day I was worried about him going to Springfield. Now, I knew he was raised in Rolla, Missouri. Now, I live in Columbia, Missouri, right? Rolla, Missouri was like down this way on the map, about 200 miles southeast. Springfield was almost more directly south for about 320 miles. Right? He almost always avoids going to Raleigh. He doesn't have his family there. But I was lying on my bed, and taking a bit of a nap, and I thought about him. Suddenly, my astral body went out and was flying over Missouri and hovered, and it said, he's in Raleigh. He needs you. He's in trouble. Go there. really strong enough. I went to my bank.
I've had similar experience.
I only had like $58 in the bank. I took all but a few bucks out. I took one-way bus ticket down to Raleigh. I'd never been there before. Beautiful redneck town. Big, wide open avenues, lots of greenery, well, you know, whatever. So, there's this old man in a rocking chair on the side of the road. I think it was a retirement home. Warm, balmy, hot afternoon, just beautiful. And I walked around and started talking. We sit down with us, and we chat about different things. I'm here to find a friend and all that. And he says, "You're a pretty boy, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, talk like that." And we talked a lot.
It's an old expression, I guess.
Yes. And then I got up. I had long hair. Those type of people don't think straight hippies have long hair. You're all pretty boys, all homosexual. So I started walking down one of the main streets, and in the distance, looked this guy who looked like Tiny Tim, scrawny, long, scraggly hair, and was hanging out with a little girl that was like his niece or something, walking down. And a voice told me he is friends with who you're looking for, Bob. So I walked up to him. "Excuse me, I'm wondering if you know a guy named Bob Childress, Robert Childress." "Oh, well, yes, you must be his good friend, Gene." And I said, "Yeah, I am." "Well, this is really interesting, because we're standing right in front of the house where he rented a room in a few weeks ago." "I'll take you in there."
Wonderful.
He takes me into the house, a big old rambling house, upstairs. You see, one of Bob's philosophies, he never leaves any doors locked for a room. So his door's open, there was his rocket ship, and he wasn't there. And we talked a while, this other guy and I talked, and then he left me there. So we thought about 3 hours, I just sat in that chair. Then Bob shows up. I was wondering when you'd show up and seeing your goat sitting there the last 2 weeks.
Really?
And we had a nice time, nice visit, lots of interesting adventures. But the interesting thing was, he wasn't in trouble. He didn't necessarily need me.
Just wanted to there was some kind of connection. I remember once being in some town in Europe. Where was I? In Germany or France? I can't remember now. But I was sitting by a body of water, and it came to me. I kind of heard a voice say, "Go to the railway station."
Mm-hmm.
So I went. And I waited.
The railroad station.
Yeah, uh-huh. I waited in the railway station, not for very long. A train was coming in a little while, and I waited.
Uh-huh.
And I just stood there by the gates where people would come out, and sure enough, somebody I knew got off the train.
Wow.
And he said to me, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm waiting for you." He says, "What do you mean you're waiting for me?" He says, "You don't know I'm here."
Wow.
I said, "But I did." And he asked me how.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Because I was sitting by the lake and I heard a voice that said, go to the railway station. And here I am."
He shouldn't just listen to any old troll that speak of you.
He was pretty shocked, actually.
Yeah.
I've since learned to keep it down. When things like that happen to me, I don't normally tell people because my experience is a phrase. They think I have some kind of magic power, but I don't. It's just something that comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is a magic power in the sense that it's a gift, but people can't handle
it. It's not a power, though. It's something I can turn on and off. Now, maybe if I meditated more and were more kind of organized in my life, it may come to me more readily.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember another time when I was a student at Trinity College. There was a young student there whose name was Dana Pat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to make one point. I believe that gay people intrinsically have a strong shamanistic streak. It's up to us to cultivate.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm here to help. I'm a leading shaman that's going to help.
Good. I've been thinking along those lines myself. I'm just reading a book now called Awakening Intuition, which has exercises of that sort. Anyway, this guy, Pat Bright, I saw him.
I think that's Randolph's spirit. He likes to play with his guy.
Really?
He pushed me over. Yeah. My spirit's really strong.
That's interesting.
Oh, God. Well, he's my guardian. He's my main director. He shows up. He's very interesting. So about Pat was his name?
Pat Bright, his name was.
Uh-huh.
He was another theology student. And I was passing him in the corridor one day, and it suddenly the name Sandy passed through my mind.
That's my brother's nickname.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
As Pat walked by me. And a little while later that day, over lunch or something, I said to him, "Pat," I said, "why is it that whenever I see you, the name Sandy comes into mind?"
Mm-hmm.
And he told me this appalling story about a good friend of his named Sandy who committed suicide.
Wow. Incredible.
And Pat avoided me after that. I thought, I better keep my mouth shut.